Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. It's only fair to warn you that this is very definitely a haunted house. Yes, there's a good old-fashioned ghost at large in these dark and dismal corridors. What's that? You are not afraid of ghosts?
Yes.
Why should you be? You've heard far too many ghost stories to be frightened by just another phantom. But be patient. We believe there's something particularly terrifying about the spirit who is about to jump out of your radio at you. We advise you not to turn off the lights. Our mystery drama, You Owe Me a Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slessor and stars Patricia Elliott.
It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and General Electric. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
If 2 bits equal 1/4, how much are 12 bits worth? Well, at your True Value Hardware Store, they're worth $3.97. Hi, Pat Summerall to explain. The 12 bits are part of a Century 13-piece drill bit set that you can get right now at your True Value Hardware Store. These 12 high-speed bits will drill holes from 1/16 of an inch to 1/4 inch in wood, metals, and other materials. Use them to make clearance holes for bolts and screws and holes for tapping. This set also gives you something a lot of drill bit sets don't include, a center punch, the accurate way to start any hole. That's 13 pieces in all in a folding pocket case. Each bit fits in a slot marked with its size, so you never have to guess which bit is the size you want. 2 bits may equal 1/4, but at your True Value Hardware Store, 12 bits are worth $3.97. Get the Century 13-piece drill bit set at your participating True Value Hardware Store. For the one nearest your home, look under Hardware in the Yellow Pages.
Right If You Get Work, the new book by Bob and Ray, is available now at book and department stores. Published by Random House.
Is there any place more fitting to begin a ghost story than a graveyard? But no, the Avondale Gardens would never use such a stark and grisly term, for this is the finest and most elegant cemetery in the Midwest, according to their brochures. And only the finest, and may I add, richest, families bring their dear departed to these peaceful grounds and manicured lawns. No swirling mist envelops the funeral procession which is now taking place. The sun shines brightly on the mourners, and yet something in the face of Irene and Daniel Weston would chill the blood of any passerby as they stand at the newly dug grave and solemnly stare at the white headstones.
Elizabeth Weston, beloved daughter of Irene and Daniel Weston, born 1954, died 1976.
Daniel, please. It's time to go.
22 years old, Irene.
I know she was 22 years old, and I know she's dead. And that's enough to know.
Is it, Irene? Is it?
The car is waiting. Cooper's been waiting for an hour.
Oh, if you want to go home, go home.
And leave you here? How would that look?
Your friends are all waiting for you, Irene, wearing their best mourning clothes. Go home. See them.
Not without you.
They can't wait to cry all over you, Irene. To show you how sad they can look. Don't spoil their fun.
Oh, dear God, how can you talk to me like that? Now, in this place.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I don't know what I'm saying. All I can think about is her.
There's no point in thinking about her. Elizabeth is gone.
Oh, no, I don't mean Elizabeth. I mean her sister.
We've already decided. There's no point in asking Heather to come home.
You decided that, Irene. I still say she'd want to be here now.
Oh, Daniel, it's over. There's nothing Heather could do here except, well, except what you're doing, wallowing in your own melancholy.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know. That's how you feel.
It's getting windy. I'm cold.
Go home, I said. Take the car. I'll manage.
All right. I'll tell you what. I'll write to Heather this evening. I'll tell her what happened. She can light a candle for Elizabeth in Rome. The city is filled with churches. Let Heather mourn her there.
And you think that would take care of it?
Yes, I do.
You're wrong. Heather would want to be here. She was Elizabeth's twin. She loved her sister.
How could she love a sister she never saw?
Oh.
All right, Daniel. If you want to struggle home by yourself, I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Irene?
Yes?
You're afraid to have Heather home, aren't you?
What?
You're afraid of her questions.
Goodbye, Daniel.
Oh, Elizabeth. Elizabeth. My poor little girl. Forgive us.
Daddy.
What?
Daddy.
What am I hearing?
Daddy.
Elizabeth. What?
Daddy.
No. No. No.
I'm sorry to have kept you waiting.
Oh, that's quite all right, Mrs. Weston. One second, I'll open the car door for you.
Thank you.
Isn't Mr. Weston with you?
No, he's decided to stay there for a while.
But how will he get home?
I'd say that's his concern, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Help me!
Ma'am, did you hear something?
Only the wind.
That's odd. I could have sworn I heard something.
Well, the wind is like that. Close the door, Cooper. I'm freezing.
Yes,
Irene!
Well, madam, it's Mr. Weston. I'm sure of it.
Daniel? Oh, good heavens. Cooper, hurry. Hurry.
Mr. Weston! Where are you?
Please.
Mr. Weston, what happened?
It's my heart.
Oh,
my heart.
Daniel! Daniel, what is it?
He's sick, Mrs. Weston. I think it's another attack.
Oh, dear Lord.
She called me. She called to me, Irene. Elizabeth.
Daniel, don't try to talk, please. Cooper, see if you can find a telephone. Get Dr. Sherman here.
Yes, ma'am.
It's too late.
Daniel.
It's too late. It's the last time, Irene. I know.
Daniel,
I know
please, just lie still.
Now you'll have to call Heather. You'll have to tell her to come home. For my funeral.
No, I've never been to Europe myself, Miss Weston, but my wife says soon as the youngest gets herself married, who knows?
They've widened this road, haven't they?
Oh, yes, 3-4 years ago. You've been away that long?
Longer, Cooper.
My. You must talk real good Italian by now. Well, there's the house. Oh, and there's your mother, right out front.
Oh, Heather!
Oh,
Mother.
Heather,
how wonderful it is to see you. It's been so terribly long.
Oh, it's wonderful to be home, Mother. But for such a horrible reason.
Oh, darling, come into the house. You must be exhausted.
Oh, I'm all right. Oh, thank you for sending Cooper to the airport. It made things much easier.
Oh, my darling, you look marvelous. So pretty.
Oh, Mother.
Heather, you got prettier in Italy.
It's the way the men make you feel. Oh, Mother, tell me all about Elizabeth.
Darling, it can wait.
No. No, please, tell me now. I know how Father died. I know about his bad heart, but why, Elizabeth?
She just took sick, Heather. We brought her back from that place. They couldn't keep her any longer.
Yes, you wrote me about that.
And she was home only for a few days, and she developed this fever, this terribly high fever, you see. And then she died.
Oh, why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you let me come home so I could at least have seen my sister just once before she died? My own twin.
Oh, Heather, come inside. I've got a fire going.
Well, hello there.
Oh, I didn't know you had company, Mother.
Heather, I'd like you to meet Martin Henley, our new neighbor.
Well, not really so new, Irene. Been over a year since we bought the Verdon place.
Well, I mean, new to Heather.
Oh, yes, that's right. Your mother told me you've been living abroad for quite some time.
Yes, I have. Switzerland first. I went to school in Lausanne, then a year in London, then Rome.
Heather was with the embassy.
Oh, don't get the wrong idea. I wasn't a girl diplomat. I was just a secretary.
Well, in any case, I'm sure it's nice to be home, but not under these circumstances, of course.
Well, I should have been here long before when my sister Elizabeth came home. Did you meet her?
No, I'm afraid not. Your twin seems to have been ill from the moment she arrived.
Oh, well, Heather, would you like a drink? Or do you drink now?
Yes, I can use something to warm me. Some wine, if you have it.
Well, no Chianti, but I think we have some sherry. That is, I'm sure Irene has some.
Sherry will be fine.
You know, I suggested to your mother that the four of us go out to dinner tonight. Here's your wine.
Thank you.
What I meant by the four of us, I have a son, David.
You like David, Heather. He's very easygoing.
Just out of the Navy. Just about getting his land legs back. But he's still got a sailor's eye for a pretty girl.
We thought you might enjoy that, darling.
Enjoy it? Why, I'd love it. In fact, why don't we have a party? We can hire a band and dance the night away.
Oh, darling, you misunderstood.
No, I'm just talking about a quiet evening, of course. Your mother and I just thought...
I'm glad you made all these arrangements for my amusement, Mr. Henley, but my father and my sister are dead. Only 1 month. I think I can wait just a little bit longer for continental food.
Heather, you don't have to be offensive.
If you'll excuse me, I want to take a walk.
Oh, darling, it's cold.
I want to see the grounds,
and
Mother.
And it's getting dark.
You needn't come with me. I wouldn't want to take you from your company. Ah, the old stone bench. I haven't sat in this bench for ages. I wonder if Elizabeth ever sat here. The world. Oh. Oh. Sounds as if someone is calling me. Oh. It must be Mother. I'd better go inside.
Oh. Hey, take it easy.
Oh. You scared the daylights out of me.
Well, there isn't any more daylight. Maybe that's why you bumped into me.
You're the one who was in the way.
Well, how did I know you'd come charging out of those trees?
They're my trees. Who are you?
David Henley. I was supposed to meet my father here.
And me?
Yeah, I guess so. If you're Heather?
Yes, I'm Heather.
Ah.
Do you mind if I went inside? I'm cold.
Your mother said you were pretty. She didn't say you walked so fast. You want the truth? I'm glad that Dad and your mother went to the Red Barn by themselves. I hate the food there.
Too continental.
For my taste. Give me a hamburger anytime. Does that bother you?
Oh, I haven't seen a real American hamburger in 4 years.
Oh, wait till you try mine. In the Navy, I was known as the barbecue king.
Your father was a Navy man, too, wasn't he?
Mm. How'd you guess?
Only looks like the type. Is your father widowed?
Yep. All he's got's me.
So you're an only child. I might as well have been an only child. I never saw my twin sister.
How come?
Oh, well, she wasn't well when she was born. Some kind of congenital ailment. She had to be in hospitals, sanitariums, places like that.
Mm. She didn't die in a hospital, though, did she?
No. No, when she was 21, she was allowed to come home.
Oh, I see.
I sent her a present here. A welcome home gift. It was an antique locket I found in Naples. The kind with room for two portraits.
Yeah.
I took two identical photos of myself and I placed them inside.
Oh. Hey, you're pretty emotional about this sister of yours, aren't you?
Why shouldn't I be?
No reason's too obvious to mention.
Because I never saw her.
You got it.
Oh, but you're wrong. I did know Elizabeth. How could I not know her? She was the other half of me.
What?
Well, don't you know the theory about twins? That they're the same person, divided in half. Only an accident of biology separates them at birth, but they can't ever be truly separated.
Mm, sounds pretty romantic. Like most legends.
I think the legends are true. I honestly believe there were times when Elizabeth felt my joys and my pain and I hers.
I think your hamburger's ready.
What do you want on your hamburger?
Oh, well, everything you got.
Onion, lettuce and tomato.
Uh-huh.
Pickle?
Of course.
Ketchup or mayonnaise?
Both, please.
Both? You mean it?
I said everything, didn't I?
Your burger is 12 inches high.
I can manage it. Watch. And you see what I mean? I told you I was starved for a real American hamburger.
You've got ketchup all over your mouth.
Do I? Oh, where's the mirror?
It's over here.
Oh, that's not the only thing with the way I look. Why didn't you say something about my hair? Look at it.
Well, it's just a little wind blown.
Oh, that was the strangest wind out there this evening. That's why I was running. The wind and something else.
What else?
I don't know. Oh, forget it. You know, every time I look in a mirror, well, I don't know if I'm seeing myself or Elizabeth. Well, now that my hair's combed, I guess I can finish my hamburger.
Yeah. Good Lord.
What's the matter?
The mirror.
What about it?
It must be the light or my eyes or something.
What do you mean?
Well, I could swear that when you walked away from that mirror, your face was still there.
It appears that Heather Weston is being haunted, and by the other half of herself. But what does Elizabeth Weston want of her sister? They say that ghosts only return to Earth because of a deed undone, a promise unfulfilled, a vengeance unobtained. What force has brought Elizabeth's restless spirit back to her home? And is that force one of good or evil? We'll learn more when I return shortly with Act Two.
Of things like Beechwood aging for 100% natural carbonation. That's how the Budweiser people age their beer. Nobody else does it that special way, but then nobody else is brewing the king of beers. I could tell you a lot of other things about Budweiser and why it's the largest selling beer in the world, but it all comes back to the Budweiser taste, and that speaks for itself loud and clear. Hear it talking?
There is no one for one. There's only something left. Because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hey, ma'am, what's for dinner? Hey, ma'am, what you got?
What's for dinner? Your ShopRite has the answer. Grade A oven-ready turkeys, toms or hens, 10 to 22 pounds, just 47 cents a pound. It's a low-calorie and nutritious meal at a great price. Check the ShopRite meat case for a lot more savings. Get your vitamin C with sun-kissed navel oranges. The large 88 size, 10 for 79 cents. Or ShopRite frozen orange juice. The 16-ounce can, just 49 cents at ShopRite. There's a lot more or a little less at your ShopRite.
She loves a family. She wants the best. She does all that she can do. She lets ShopRite do the rest. Hey, ma, what's for dinner? ShopRite has the answer.
Let Air Jamaica,
fly you away to your own villa in Jamaica. All the pleasures of our island and your own private retreat with a maid, cook, gardener, and a getaway car.
Forget the politicians, the division, the gloomy headline, official deadline. Let it all go now. Let me show how. Call it Jamaica. You're feeling good.
One pampered week in a villa shared by three friendly couples can be arranged for as little as $344 per person, including round-trip airfare. Call your travel agent and arrange to have Air Jamaica make good your escape. We know how to make life a holiday.
Air Jamaica's villa holidays are available until March 31st. Call your travel agent.
Heather Weston has come home. Home to a mother whose mourning period for her dead father and sister seems to have been abbreviated. But Heather cannot forget their existence that quickly. She knows that there is still a mystery to solve. And if she didn't know it, her sister's spirit seems to be determined to remind her.
Heather, are you in there?
Yes, Mother.
What on earth are you doing in here?
Just looking around. Didn't you say that Elizabeth used this bedroom?
We did have her in here for a few days, but she seemed so unhappy that we moved her to the middle bedroom, your old room.
Oh, well, then maybe that explains it.
Explains what, dear?
Why, I can't find anything. Not the slightest thing that belonged to her.
Why on earth do you want to?
I just do, that's all. Did you store Elizabeth's things somewhere?
No, I haven't stored anything.
Excuse me.
Where are you going?
To look in the other bedroom.
Heather, wait. Heather, what's the point of all this? You won't find anything belonging to Elizabeth.
I won't if I won't look.
Well, darling, there isn't anything to find. She brought almost nothing with her from that place.
Mother, she had to have clothes. She had to have personal belongings, books, records, a diary. Well, everyone accumulates things, Mother.
Heather, let me save you the effort. There's nothing of Elizabeth's in this room either. Not here, not in the whole house.
But why? Why was everything taken away?
There was so little to begin with.
There had to be something. Well, she wore clothes. She wasn't an animal. Or did you have to burn them? Was it that sort of illness?
No, darling. A fever. Nothing contagious.
Then why is everything wiped away, scrubbed so clean of her? I mean, you'd never know that Elizabeth existed.
Oh, she existed. Briefly. But she was here.
Then why? Why did you do this? Why did you remove all traces?
Because there are some things in life that don't call for souvenirs.
Oh, yes. I understand. Oh, what's this? Oh,
the drawer doesn't close all the way.
It's because something's stuck in the corner. Oh, there. There, I've got it loose. Mother, look. It's the locket, the one I sent her from Naples.
Yes.
Oh, so you did give it to her.
Yes, I did, darling. Or I tried.
Why? Didn't she like it?
Well, for some reason, she was afraid of it.
Afraid? But why?
I don't know. I told you that Elizabeth was strange sometimes.
Do you suppose it was the identical portraits?
Well, perhaps.
Oh, Mother. That was it, wasn't it? Those photographs must have seemed so disgustingly healthy when she was so ill.
Oh, you may be right, Heather.
Oh, so the only memento I have of my sister is the one I sent her myself.
Heather, you're sure you want to sleep in this room?
Oh, yes, Mother, of course. It used to be my room.
I mean,
because of her.
Oh, don't be silly. Doesn't bother me that my sister used this room. Why shouldn't she?
Well, all right. Good night then, darling.
Good night, Mother. And sleep well.
Yes, yes, I'll try. I just wish this weather would change. The wind never seems to stop.
Well, it's this time of year, Mother, that's all.
Damn this time of year. Well, good night, Angel.
Good night, Mother. Whew. It is much too windy. I'd better shut that window. Oh. Oh. There it is again. I do hear it. I do. There's someone out there calling my name. Oh, horrible. Maybe someone else can hear it, too. I've got to find out. Oh, oh, the door is stuck. Why doesn't the door open? It's locked. Good Lord, the door is locked. I can't open it. Why would Mother want to lock me in? Mother! Mother! Can you hear me? Mother, please, open the door. I can't get out of my room. Mother! I'm frightened. Oh, it's going. Oh, thank heaven the voice is going away. Ah! The door. Oh, that light. That light behind it. It's blinding. Ah! Ah, it's her. I know it's her. She wants to come in here. No, Elizabeth, no, don't. No, I'm too frightened. Elizabeth, I'm your sister. I'm Heather. Ah, why doesn't somebody else hear it? Why doesn't somebody help me? No, Elizabeth, don't come in. Don't. I'm your sister. Look. Look, I can prove it. The locket. Elizabeth, look at it. See, I have the locket. No! No! Oh, she's gone. She's gone. She was frightened of the locket.
Mother, are you all right?
Mother.
Open the door, darling, please.
I can't. It's locked. You locked it.
Of course it isn't locked.
Heather, what's the matter? Was it a bad dream? I heard you cry out.
That's all you heard? Only me?
Well, yes, darling. That's all.
Did you do much riding in Rome?
Not enough, I guess.
Oh, why do you say that?
Because I'm saddle sore.
You want to walk for a while?
Oh, if you don't mind.
Oh, of course not. We can just walk them across the field.
I'm sorry. I told you I wasn't going to be much of a riding companion. I'm just feeling too depressed.
You're not depressed. You're haunted. Am I right?
You don't believe me. I know. Neither would my mother if I told her.
Told her what?
That my sister has come back from the dead.
Ooh, wow.
I don't know why, but Elizabeth is trying to reach me. She tried the moment I came home.
Is that what you were running from when you bumped into me?
Maybe I shouldn't run. Maybe I should let her reach me.
So you could talk things over with your better half?
I didn't say she was my better half, just the other half of me.
You know something? I think this twin theory of yours is dripping wet.
It was the locket that drove her away.
What?
Oh, the locket I sent from Naples.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you told me about that.
Mother says she wouldn't accept the gift. She was frightened of it. Frightened her away last night, too, when she tried to get into my room.
Well, they drive vampires away with crucifixes or a string of garlic.
I'm not going to do anything at all to drive Elizabeth away. I'm going to let her come to me.
Hmm. That idea doesn't scare you?
She's my sister.
No. Can I ask you something?
Yes.
If you're not scared, then how come you're wearing that locket?
Oh,
I'm very angry with you, Heather.
About what?
Martin says you're seeing ghosts.
Martin said that?
David told him about your conversation. This mad idea of yours. You have one bad dream and suddenly your house is haunted.
David had no right to say that to his father.
So it's David's fault.
This was none of Martin Henley's business.
But it's my business when he thinks my daughter is capable of believing such nonsense.
What does it matter what that man thinks?
It matters to me. If he thinks I have another feeble-minded daughter in my family...
Mother!
Oh, Heather. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean it.
Oh, it's all right, Mother.
That was dreadful. I shouldn't have said it.
No, it's all right.
Dreadful.
Did you think you were breaking the seal of some great mystery? You weren't.
Yes, but you couldn't know.
Don't you think I guessed long ago what was really wrong with my twin sister? That it wasn't a congenital ailment that put her into all those institutions?
Yes, I guess that you knew. We went through all those years fooling each other, and neither of us being fooled.
I knew there was something wrong with her brain, but do you think it made me love my twin sister less?
Didn't it?
No, Mother. And I know you didn't love her less either.
She was always a baby to me, Heather. The child inside her was never lost to me. Until the day she died. She called me Mummy.
You still mad at me?
I know you told him about my seeing ghosts. Mother was terribly upset about it. She thought I'd just about ruined her chances.
Her chances for what?
Catching herself a new husband, of course. Don't tell me you haven't figured that one out.
Yeah, guess I had some inkling.
Well, don't worry about it. You're not about to get a new sister.
And the last thing I want you to be is a sister.
There isn't the slightest chance. Now that your father knows what a crazy family we are.
Heather, listen to me. You obviously don't know everything I told my father.
You told him that I saw the ghost of Elizabeth?
No, that's only half of it.
And what is the other half?
I told him that I believed you.
You what?
I believe you, Heather, because I saw her, too. Remember that night we were having hamburgers? I saw your dead twin in the mirror.
I thought you said it was your imagination or your eyesight.
And I've never believed in ghosts before. But I'm willing to have someone prove this one exists.
But how?
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. Have you ever heard of a woman named Margaret Collodi?
No. No, who's she?
Well, she was a famous medium in her day. Now, I don't even know if she does this sort of thing anymore, but... when I heard she'd settled as close as Fairmont Village, I thought it was worth calling on.
So that's why we're going there.
Mm-hmm. Is that all right with you?
Yes, I suppose so. If it's all right with Mrs. Collodi.
Well, to be truthful, she didn't sound especially glad when I told her the point of our visit.
No, I'm sorry. I haven't conducted a seance in 15 years. Things happened the last time I tried, things I had no control over.
Mrs. Collodi, we're willing to pay you for any service you can give us.
It's been years, I'm telling you. My gift may be gone.
Won't you listen to the problem, Mrs. Collodi?
Miss Weston's sister was a twin, an identical twin.
She's come back. I know she has, and I have to know why. I have to know what it is that she wants of me.
A twin. Yes, of course. I know about such things. Twins are strange ones, you know. Strange and wonderful all their lives, and sometimes beyond their lives.
What do you mean?
Twins are single souls, my child. Single souls that cannot be parted on this side of the curtain or the next.
Wait a minute. That sounds pretty silly to me.
What you have seen, what you have heard, it has happened before to other twins. My child, your sister, wants to be united with you again. United as one.
But she's dead.
Yes. She can no longer share your life with you. She can only share your death.
If Mrs. Collodi is right, then Heather Weston may no longer be very happy to know what her dead sister yearns for. No matter how much she may want to see Elizabeth, Heather is perfectly willing to wait another 60 years for the pleasure of reunion. The question is, will Elizabeth let her wait? We'll find out when we return in a moment with Act 3.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
Need a full-size car? Well, you came to the right place. Buick. Take LeSabre, a genuine family car with lots of nifty Buick touches and room for six. Or the elegant Electra, the car that wrote the book on Buick luxury. Or Riviera, the luxury car that's also a great personal road car. The full-size Buicks. If you're looking for a place where you and your free spirit can really get together, this is it.
Free spirit, Buick on the way. How it's gonna be, your spirit's free.
Well, good old Uncle Sam has done it again. If you know anybody on Social Security, listen to this. People who get Social Security checks will never again have to worry about them being late or lost or stolen. If you just fill out a simple form at the Lincoln Savings Bank, Uncle Sam will automatically deposit your Social Security check directly into your account at the Lincoln every month. No more waiting around for it to come. No more lost or stolen checks. No more standing in line to cash them. Every month, the day your check is due, the money is there in your savings account at the Lincoln, earning interest for you from the day it was due until the day you withdraw it. Interest that can really add up. Uncle Sam and the Lincoln do it all automatically. You don't have to do anything except fill out one form at any Lincoln branch or telephone 782-6000 and the Lincoln will mail it to you. The Lincoln Savings Bank, 782-6000, member FDIC.
It's the one on your mind.
Every bite of a Milky Way bar, you get chewy golden caramel, luscious nougat, and thick creamy milk chocolate. And that's 100% real milk chocolate, nothing less. Milky Way is quality through and through. Look for the big fun-size bags when you shop. And bring home something really delicious for the family.
It's the one on your mind.
Strange scene is taking place in the Weston house this evening. A circle is being formed in the living room. Irene Weston and her daughter Heather are sitting with Martin Henley and his son David. And all of them are watching an eccentric old lady named Margaret Collodi. But they're not here for purposes of ordinary conversation. This little group has gathered in the hope of talking to the dead.
Well, let's get this nonsense over with.
Mother, please.
Mrs. Collodi, tell us what we have to do. Do we join hands or...
First, there must be darkness.
Of course. All mediums have to work in the dark, don't they?
Mother, give the woman a chance.
I warned your daughter. It's been many long years since I tried to contact the spirit world. And even when I had my powers, I had little control.
Now, wait a minute. What does that mean exactly?
Things would happen. Evil things sometimes.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
David, please turn off the lights.
Oh, sure. Now, we decided to do this thing. Let's do it. There.
And now, what do we do?
Now, we wait.
Hmm.
Mrs. Colodi. Mrs. Colodi, are you all right?
Oh, this is ridiculous. How long do we have to sit here like this?
Why, what's wrong with the woman?
I think she's in a trance.
Yes, that's what she wants you to think.
She looks so strange.
I could almost swear that there's a light around her head.
It's a trick, of course. You see? She said she wasn't going to play any tricks.
Mother, shut up.
Mrs. Weston. It's true. There is a light over Mrs. Colodi's head.
I could almost swear.
It's a face.
I've had enough of this.
There is. There is a face.
David, it must be her. It must be Elizabeth.
No, it looks more like the face of a man.
Good Lord.
It is a man, Heather.
Oh, no, David. It's my father.
Irene.
She's calling your name.
Stop it. Stop it, I can't stand it. Bart, let go of my
hand. I can't, Irene. I can't seem to let go.
I
can't.
Stop her, for the love of God. Turn on the light.
David, do as she says.
Mrs. Colodi. David, she's fainted.
Never mind her. Take care of your mother.
Mother, are you all right, Mother? Please. Please, Mother, look at me, please. Yes, I'm
all right.
It was my father. He came into this room. I saw him.
Well, only, what did it mean? What was it he said?
He said, you killed her. What did he mean, Mother?
He meant that I killed Elizabeth.
What?
It's true. I did it. I killed my daughter. You never knew the real truth about your sister, Heather, because I never wanted you to know.
Mother, I did know. I told you that. I knew that Elizabeth had some kind of mental deficiency.
Yes. She had the mind of a child, but her body...
Irene, it's only natural. The body grows and changes, even if the mind can.
No, you don't understand. Heather... You think you've seen your sister, seen her ghostly image looking just like you.
Yes, I have.
But your ghost is only in your mind. You've seen Elizabeth the way you imagined her to be, perhaps as she sometimes imagined herself.
But they were identical twins, Mrs. Weston.
They were born at the same moment, but they were not identical. Heather, your sister was different. Some accident of biology.
You mean malformed in some way?
She was twisted, cruelly twisted, her spine, her face.
Oh, dear Lord.
How you romanticized her, darling. There were times when you had me believing that Elizabeth was the mirror image of my lovely daughter. But then we'd visit her in one of those institutions, a place where we had hidden her away from the world.
But what did she know of me?
She thought about you all the time, with both shame and fear. That locket you sent her, it terrified her because she knew it wasn't her face.
Irene, what did you mean before? You didn't really kill this poor creature.
You said she died of a fever.
Yes. I chose a clever weapon, didn't I?
What do you mean?
It began... almost as soon as we brought Elizabeth home from the institution. The Montgomery home wouldn't keep patients over 21 years of age. So as a birthday present for your sister, we let her come home. We had to do it, at least until we could make other arrangements. And we gave her your room, Heather. It was there she became ill. Her fever was almost constant, and one night it rose dangerously. I knew she had to have medical attention. I knew she was suffering. I could hear the suffering in her voice as she called out to me.
Mommy.
I knew my little girl would die without something to bring the fever down. But I just walked out of that bedroom, and I knew that I would do nothing.
Mommy.
Elizabeth was dead by morning. Daniel didn't speak one word to me until the day of the funeral.
Oh, Mother, how awful for you.
I know you loved her. I know you did. As did I.
But love is not enough.
Mrs. Collodi, are you all right?
Listen to me, my child. Love is not enough. The spirit of your dead sister is determined to have the other half of her death. You must not remain in this house.
Maybe she's right, Heather. If there's the slightest danger...
I'll tell you what the danger is. The whole bunch of you being locked up as lunatics.
Oh, Dad.
What? Oh, David, the whole thing is nonsense, and you know it.
It's not nonsense if people are scared to the point of a nervous breakdown.
What's that? What?
It's just the wind, darling. What do you think it is? Your ghost?
Heather, would you think of spending the night at our place?
No, I couldn't leave my mother.
Well, no, she can come, too.
There is no place you can go. No place where the spirit of your twin cannot reach you.
Look, I think that's just about enough, Mrs. Collodi.
There is no place I have to go. This is my home. It was her home, too. Listen, I thought I heard something.
You heard the wind, Irene.
Oh, no, more than that. A voice. A voice in the wind, Martin.
It's too easy to hear voices in the wind.
There. I heard it. I know I heard it.
I didn't hear anything.
Maybe you can't hear it the way I do. Heather. Heather is calling your name.
I hear it.
Good Lord, you people are making me hear it now.
Yeah, it's Elizabeth. She's outside.
No. Take it easy.
She wants me out there, David. Don't you see?
Yes, she wants you. She wants you to come to her.
Then I'm going.
No, Heather.
I'm not afraid, Mother.
Heather, come back.
I'm not afraid of my...
Mrs. Dear. Weston, stop her. Don't let her go out there.
Heather. I'm here, Elizabeth.
Heather.
Yes.
Come.
Heather, where are you? Heather.
Come to me.
No.
Make us one again.
No, Elizabeth. No, that cannot be. We cannot be one.
Come to me.
No, I'm alive, Elizabeth. Can't you see?
Come to my arms. My sister.
Heather, don't touch it. For God's sake, Elizabeth, let her alone. Elizabeth, it's me. It's your mother.
Mommy.
I'm sorry for what I did, Elizabeth. I'm sorry.
Mommy.
I'm part of you too, Elizabeth.
Mommy.
Mother, don't. Isn't it? When I first arrived back home, I kept telling myself that I should go to the cemetery.
It's not my favorite place, personally.
I just thought that I should do it, that I should visit the graves of my father and my sister. But I couldn't do it.
I'm not so sure you should be here today, Heather. Not the way you've been feeling.
But I have to be here, David. This time, I have... 3 graves to visit.
Three graves. A family reunion for the Westons. Except that young Heather Weston still has a long and happy life ahead of her. Oh, yes, we can tell you what happened to her. Heather married David Henley. They were very happy. And very recently, they were the proud parents of a set of lovely twins. I'll be back shortly.
This is veteran broadcaster Wally Ballou chatting with some of the wise folks who are taking advantage of General Electric's Happy Birthday America celebration going on right now at participating GE dealers. Sir?
How do you do, Mr. Ballou? It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
I might say you look much older and smaller in person than you do on TV.
Could I have your name, please?
Stilskin, R.P. Stilskin.
And you're taking advantage of this big General Electric celebration going on right now.
Sure am. What an array of super values. GE radios, tape recorders, stereo systems. I don't know what to buy first.
Well, I might suggest a GE digital clock radio or one of a number of tape recorders. Buy one and you get a free Spirit of 76 portable AM radio. That's value.
Hey, I'll do that. How long is this event going to last?
Through March 15th. And this is Wally Ballou inviting everyone to visit a participating GE dealers and share in GE's Happy Birthday America celebration now. I didn't ask you what you do for a living, Mr. Stilskin.
I spend gold in the subway tokens.
Now let's pick up some of that bad music.
Feel the seconds, feel each minute. As the day goes by, feel yourself in it. It's a good day to up and fly away. It's so easy to do. Eastern's got the right time and the right place.
The right place for you is in Florida. Eastern Airlines has the right time for you with 46 daily nonstops to 11 Florida cities. And now there's free champagne in coach and first class on all Florida nonstops. And remember, there are no lower airfares from New York than Eastern's. For reservations, call your travel agent or call Eastern, the wings of man.
Eastern's got the right.
Dear Vicky Valentine, my wife threatens to leave me because I keep forgetting important dates like Valentine's Day. What can I do? Signed, Absent-Minded.
Dear Absent-Minded, forget Valentine's Day this year and you can kiss your wife goodbye. It's Saturday, this Saturday, so remember to send her a Hallmark Valentine. Hallmark, when you care enough to send the very best.
We don't know whether our little story has made you believe in ghosts, but then how can you not believe, since you have a disembodied voice in your own home this minute? It's my voice, the voice of E.G. Marshall, who hopes to be haunting you again very soon. Our cast included Patricia Elliott, Vicky Vola, Russell Horton, William Redfield, and Ann Potoniak. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Tonight's Mystery Theater was also brought to you in part by ShopRite Supermarkets, where you get a lot more for a little less. The preceding program was furnished by CBS Radio. Your dial is set for news with John Wingate.
This is Barry Farber. Join us immediately following the 8 o'clock news right here over WOR New York, the talk of New York.
Joanne, not guilty. Judge rules on Patty. W.T. Grant. Ready to fold up. It is 37 degrees and cloudy in Times Square. Our Weather Watch update calls for partly cloudy, windy, and colder weather tonight. Good evening. This is John Wingate for John Scott with the 8 o'clock news and financial review. Following lengthy deliberation, a Long Island jury has reached a verdict in the trial of a woman accused of murdering her lover. WOR's Bert Wilson reports.
Not guilty because of mental disease or defect. That was the verdict of the jury in the Joanne Brown murder trial. Mrs. Brown accused of killing her lover, Burr Hollister, in 1974 in the Nassau County Supreme Court building, where Hollister was a law secretary. After the verdict, I put this question to defense attorney Robert Rivers.
What is your feeling about the jury's verdict?
Well, I say thank God for the jury system. I think in this case, the jury system worked. I would like to have Joanne Brown out with us celebrating tonight. But I'm confident that within 1 week, after some tests are performed by the Department of Mental Hygiene, she will be free.
When the verdict was announced, Mrs. Brown shook her head and started to cry. What did that mean?
That she was relieved.
Joanne Brown has been committed to the custody of the Commissioner of Mental Health for certification of sanity. Then, in all probability, freedom. At the Nassau County Court Building, this is Bert Wilson for WOR News.
A jury of 7 men and 5 women found a Brooklyn student guilty of second-degree murder in the killing of a co-ed last year at Kingsborough Community College. Convicted is 24-year-old Robert K. Smith for the fatal shooting of 22-year-old Kim Jarvis on April 24. Police chased Smith into the waters of Sheepshead Bay, adjacent to a Brooklyn campus, and arrested him. Miss Jarvis was shot in the hallway of Kingsborough College. Smith testified during the trial, which began January 26, that he shot Miss Jarvis while under extreme emotional disturbance following a lover's quarrel. Sentencing, March 22. He faces a possible sentence of 15 years to life imprisonment. A hold-up man and an elderly man serving as a temporary replacement for a bank guard were fatally shot today during a robbery at a New York savings and loan. Police identified the victims as 78-year-old Charles Cunningham of Hillside, who had agreed to work at the bank while the regular guard underwent knee surgery, and 19-year-old Dwayne Bruce of Irvington. Police said two men have been taken into custody in Irvington for questioning in connection with the hold-up of the Carteret savings and loan. The hold-up netted $5,000 to $6,000. The two men in custody aren't immediately identified. The two will be held until pictures of the holdup taken by a bank camera are developed by the FBI. Here's a sports bulletin just in from San Francisco. The San Francisco baseball Giants have been prevented from being sold and moved to Toronto, Canada, by a last-minute bid of $8 million from Bay Area financier Robert Lurie and former franchise owner Bob Short. To repeat, the baseball Giants will not be moved to Toronto, but they'll stay in San Francisco. Another bank guard was shot in the leg during a holdup at a First National City bank branch in Manhattan, 96 and Broadway. Only the guard was injured after a chase that led a suspect right in front of a police station house. There he fired a shot at a cop, but missed. No indication how much money was taken in that holdup. 37 degrees, cold in Times Square. WOR 710 News Time, 8:03, and your stocks to come. Federal Judge Oliver Carter today ruled the government can use tape-recorded communiques issued while Patty Hearst was with the Symbionese Liberation Army. Ruling was considered particularly important to the prosecution. The judge made his decision after 2 days of testimony, in the absence of the jury, by Ms. Hearst and others. Defense attorney F. Lee Bailey said the judge's ruling meant that the likelihood of Ms. Hearst testifying in her own defense is, as he put it, sharply increased. And Bailey wasn't at all happy about Judge Carter's decision.
The SLA persuaded Patty that if she were to return to society and she were not killed, which was a good possibility in their view, that she would be prosecuted, that a judge would allow the case to go to the jury, that a jury would convict her, and that she would go to jail, and no one would ever believe her story. And I imagine Sing Q is sparking in his grave at this point. The predictability of the government's action has been, as I put it, discouraging.
That was F. Lee Bailey, and Sin Q, as you know, was one of the heads of the Symbionese Liberation Army. The government reports welfare rolls increased slightly last October as more jobless fathers took advantage of a Supreme Court ruling giving them the choice of jobless benefits or welfare. The Department of Hugh said there was a rise of 0.8% in the number of persons on welfare in October, the last month for which figures are available. Hugh said 11,400,000 adults and children were on welfare in October, at a cost of almost $815 million in cash aid and $2.2 billion in Medicaid. W.T. Grant & Company, once the nation's third largest variety store chain, joined its major creditors in asking that it be formally declared bankrupt and be allowed to go out of business. Grant's more than $1 billion in debts would make its bankruptcy the biggest retail failure in this country's history. If approved by a bankruptcy judge, the move means that Grant's last 393 stores concentrated here in the northeastern states will be closed, and its remaining 30,000 employees will lose their jobs. The new director of the Central Intelligence Agency, George Bush, in his first public act as head of the CIA, orders that all journalists be removed from the agency's payroll if they work full or part-time for U.S. news organizations. The statement marked a break with the policy announced by Bush's predecessor, William Colby. Colby, who stepped down last month, said several times that the U.S. no longer used full-time journalists as agents, but would continue to rely on part-time reporters, or stringers as they're called, whose work might appear in U.S. publications. At the same time, the new man Bush announced the CIA has, quote, no secret paid or contractual relationship with any American clergyman or missionary, and that this practice will be continued as a matter of policy. In announcing the ban on using both full and part-time newspapermen, the CIA also said it would welcome information volunteered by the press and the clergy and promised not to reveal the names of Americans who help it out. The Food and Drug Administration today banned red dye number 2, effective tomorrow, after getting permission from a federal appeals court. The artificial dye used in hundreds of foods and drugs and cosmetics cannot be used in any product unless processing has already started. U.S. Court of Appeals had ordered a delay on the ban until Monday, but today lifted the stay without explanation. The judges announced they would begin hearing arguments April 1-5 on the merits of the industry appeal. A Western-backed faction in Angola today admitted the Soviet-supplied popular movement had captured its military headquarters at Silva Porto. Spokesman for the UNITA told reporters in Zaire that Soviet ships had bombarded coastal cities as Cuban troops backed by tanks attacked the overland. There was no independent confirmation of that report of bombardment by Soviet ships. Aldo Moro and Italy's Christian Democrats tonight form the 38th Italian government since World War II. The new Moro cabinet excluded a former defense minister, Luigi Ghii, who had been linked by Italian newspapers to a payoff by Lockheed Aircraft Corporation. Weather to come.
I can tell you, in the International Ladies Garment Workers Union, older people still count. There's a union retirement check, and for people who never made big money, this means a lot. There are free health clinics. We get all our prescriptions filled for a dollar. We even have our own clubs. We're not alone. That's my union, and that's what our label stands for.
Look for the union label when you are buying one coat, dress, or blouse. Remember somewhere our union sewing, our wages going to feed the kids. And run the house, we work hard, but who's complaining? Thanks to the IMG, we're paying our way. So always look for the union label. It says we're able to make it the USA.
And the Weather Watch update for New York City and vicinity. Partly cloudy, windy, and colder tonight with a low in the upper 20s. Sunshine tomorrow, followed by increasing clouds in the afternoon with a high of about 40. Cloudy tomorrow night with a chance of a few showers Friday. Low tomorrow night in the low 30s. High Friday in the mid 40s. Chance of rain is 20% tonight, 10% tomorrow, and 20% tomorrow night. In cloudy Times Square, it's 37 degrees. Humidity is 67%. Wind west at 8. Barometer 29.96, and that barometer is rising. The top of the 8 o'clock news. Nassau County jury finds Joanne Brown not guilty, by reason of mental defect, of killing the man she lived with. In ruling important to prosecution, federal judge says jury can hear tape recording Patty Hearst's defense claim she was forced to make. W.T. Grant can't hack it anymore, wants to go into bankruptcy as soon as possible, close all stores, and fire workers. And to repeat a late sports bulletin, the baseball Giants will not be moved to Toronto, but they will stay in San Francisco, the Golden Gate City. That's the 8 o'clock news, John Wingate for John Scott. Next news on this station, as it happens. Next scheduled news at 9 o'clock tonight on WOR Radio 710, the talk of New York. And the greatest talker of all comes your way, Barry Farber.